This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, one of my favorite things was back to school shopping. There was something about all that new supplies. Now granted, I still have an affinity for office supplies, so I guess it was sort of leading up to that. But there was something fun about those new pack of crayons, right? They were not broken and all the points were perfectly, you know, those Crayola, all the perfectly shaped. Or a brand new pack of pencils that never looked that sharpened ever correctly again, right? Or those little erasers, those bobber erasers that you would put on the end of your pencil so that you could erase and erase. Now, some kids these days, they're also used to iPads and stuff. I don't even know that they can appreciate what we went through for that back-to-school shopping. But when we hear about this parable today, it reminded me of that back-to-school shopping. How many of you are planners? You can raise your hand, you don't have to. How many of you are procrastinators? How many of you need a planner in your life or you would never actually get anything done? Unfortunately, in my family, none of us are planners. So when we think about getting ready, right? We get ready for to take a trip. How do we get ready to take a trip? Well, we plan the itinerary, right? We figure out what the weather is going to be like. Right, we start to pack for the weather, for the climate, for what the activities we might be doing, those good walking shoes if you're going to be doing a lot of walking, a swimsuit if you're going to be doing that scuba and that snorkeling, right? And then we plan how we're going to get to the airport or how we're going to drive to where we're going. Does anybody remember MapQuest? Remember printing out those pages and pages of maps to tell us how to get there? So technology has helped a great deal in helping us get prepared for things like a trip, right? But how many of us also, we get prepared for the work week? Or we get prepared to come to Sunday service? If you're really, I'm reading this book about atomic habits, if you're really, like they say, successful people do two things. They make their bed every morning, just so y'all know, make their bed every morning, but they set their clothes out the night before. Now, I don't think I've ever done that. They set their clothes. They're prepared for the day. They're getting their mind ready for the day ahead. And for the people today, there's a new term called the Sunday scaries. I don't know if you've heard of that. For new people in the workforce, there's a word they use called the Sunday scaries, and that's recognizing that they have to go to work on Monday, but they don't find their job fulfilling. And so as Sunday rolls around and Sunday evening, there's a level of anxiety that begins to build for their life. We think about being prepared. How many of us have ever prepared for, let's say, a storm? Those of us who live along the Gulf Coast, right? We think about preparing for a storm. There's all kinds of lists that we can find. There's all kinds of you know, ideas, always be prepared ahead. How many of us ever actually do? Some of you may, but I still couldn't tell you where all those important documents are in my house. The good news is we have weathermen now, meteorologists who can tell us how long we have to prepare. It's coming in 2 days, and we keep hoping that it'll move. The world was not ready for a pandemic. How many of you remember the toilet paper shortage? How many of you were a reason there was a toilet paper shortage? That was really fun. I don't remember what that was all about, but I remember very clearly the shortage. So we think about this parable today that Jesus shares about the bridesmaids and the bridegroom. Now, historically, the bridegroom, Jesus would be the bridegroom. Right? Weddings in that day and era. We think weddings are a big deal now. Then they lasted for a year. It started with a betrothal, what we might call a proposal. right? But once that proposal was made and the yes was said, there was no turning back in ancient Israel, in ancient Palestine. So then there was a year of building up, a year of waiting. Now, in our modern day culture, that year is spent picking out flowers, centerpieces, bridesmaids' dresses, wedding dresses. But it wasn't so much different in ancient Israel. But the difference was, as he talks about, they were getting ready for the wedding feast. The difference was, is once the wedding happened and there was a feast, it could last for days. Right, we have a traditional wedding, you'll get married, there'll be the vows, and then there'll be a reception. Imagine a wedding reception lasting for days, maybe as long as a week. Talk about a celebration. So knowing that this was coming, we have these bridesmaids. Well, they're supposed to know. Anyone who's ever been married and has bridesmaids, we all know the groomsmen just are supposed to show up, not drunk. The bridesmaids have a lot of responsibility leading up to that wedding day. And it was no different then. So he shares this parable of the bridesmaids, right? They are supposed to be ready. And the bridegroom is late. Now, we don't get a story why, but again, if we think about the way this works, is Jesus is the bridegroom. The parable is to tell us a story, a metaphor, so we're waiting. Jesus says, you have waited, and the bridegroom has finally arrived. And the wise bridesmaids knew that they might have to wait for the bridegroom, that the bachelor party may have just gone way too long. The bridesmaids, the wise ones, came prepared. They knew that when the time came, they would need their light to be lit, and they came prepared. Now, the foolish bridesmaids, and I have to say, I probably would have been tended more that side, didn't come prepared. They're like, I got enough oil for today. That's probably going to be enough. And they were about to run out. Now, the interesting thing is there are a couple of ways we could look at how the bridegroom responds to those foolish bridesmaids, right? It's kind of harsh. Well, you weren't ready. But then I think about the bridesmaids who were prepared. So is this story about hoarding oil? Like we hoarded toilet paper? Or is this story about having enough? Because one of the things that they did say is, look, we have been waiting for the bridegroom and we are ready and he has come and we are not going to be deterred. We are staying focused on the arrival of this bridegroom. So yes, you should go to the store and get the oil. And I could just imagine them shuffling out, okay, we're going to go. And they show up and all the shelves are empty. And then they come back. And it's too late. The party has started without them. This is all about being prepared. And when we think about being prepared, we prepare for so many things in our day-to-day life. Yesterday, my husband and I went to a college football game and we have a list for tailgating. Be prepared. Those of us who pack at the last minute, how often is it that we show up and we realize we needed 4 shirts, but we only brought 2? And then we have to go either buy more clothes or find out if someone else in the family has clothes that will fit, or we wear dirty clothes for our trip. If we can spend as much focus and energy and time as preparing for a trip, we're preparing a meal. We're preparing our week. We're preparing a celebration. How much time are we spent preparing, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ? So one of the things about being prepared, as the bridegrooms all got drowsy, is we also have to be ready to wait. Now, when we think about preparing for this, the coming of Jesus Christ, there are a couple of ways to look at it. We can look at it as this idea of apocalyptic ending. And as our Holy Scriptures lead up to Advent, the season of Christmas that we understand it, that's a new year. So in the church calendar, we're coming up to the end of a year. And the readings, I was just talking to our musicians this morning, the readings are going to get more and more apocalyptic. The world is ending. There was a song actually called Signs of Ending all around us. But we come to the beginning of the new year, and we're invited to prepare. So how might we prepare as Christians? We can think of preparing as this idea, and many Christians do, this idea that at some point Jesus is going to come, the world's going to end, and if we've done well, we'll be the ones that get to survive. But it's less about whether or not we'll survive at the end as about how we are preparing our hearts now. Because the truth is when we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus Christ, and we do it regularly. I think at one time I mentioned like coming to church is like a little polish. We're polishing up our heart to get ready for the week ahead. When we prepare regularly and we turn our hearts towards God on a regular basis, then what we are creating is an atmosphere of readiness. And when we have an atmosphere of readiness, we are able to see God and Jesus Christ, not as something that will happen in the future, but that's something that is happening all the time right now. When our hearts are turned towards God, we are able to see God's love breaking through, the kingdom of heaven breaking through all of the time. It reorients the way we look at the world. That the kingdom of heaven is something to be realized right now, not something for us to sit back and hope happens in the future. All of you here carry a lamp of oil. And the world can wear us down and soak up the oil. But how do we stay prepared for that weight? Well, one way is to worship regularly, to receive communion. Luckily, in the Episcopal Church, we are offered that to do that every Sunday. In our Book of Common Prayer, that's the little red book in the pews in front of you. In our prayer for Ash Wednesday, it gives us many ideas of how do we stay prepared through self-examination, self-reflection, repentance. We confess our sins every Sunday. One way to stay prepared is through prayer, fasting. And fasting is essentially a way of self-denial. What is it in the world or whatever it is in your daily life or your weekly life or your monthly life, something that is pulling you your heart further from God, fasting from those things, stopping those things, turning our hearts back to God. And then, of course, reading and meditating on Holy Scripture. As we think about how we prepare, being ready to wait, it's no accident that this scripture comes to us as the days get shorter and the nights get longer. But the message is quite simple, that we are called to pay attention, that we are called to be aware of the possibilities, and that God should always be our priority. You see, being ready as a Christian is to be a way of life. It's more than a checklist of do's or don'ts. Again, it's an orientation to the world. And how do we get ready? We get ready through prayer and fasting and self-denial and reading of Scripture. And if anything, this song we heard this morning, our opening hymn, Awake My Soul with the Sun, shake off the sloth, joyfully rise, disperse my sins as the morning dew dries up, guard my first springs of thought and will. I love that line. Guard my first springs of thought and will. What are the first thoughts that come in our head every day? This is why morning prayer is so important. Guard my first springs of thought and will, and with you my spirit be filled, direct and control. And suggest this day how I might stay oriented towards you, God. All of this I ask, that everything I have, all the power and will that I have, may be here to glorify you. And then we end with the words of our doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you need a place to start, friends, I invite you to visit those lyrics throughout the week. As soon as we rise, we prepare our hearts. We are ready to receive the day, whatever it may throw at us. Have you ever met somebody who, no matter what happens in the world, they feel calm? And sometimes you're like, okay, they're completely clueless, right? Sometimes the people can be calm in the midst of chaos because of the way they've oriented their hearts. And this is a lifelong practice and lesson. After the service today, I will do a Sunday Forum Hour, and I'll introduce you to a practice that we can start to begin to prepare our hearts and stay ready. There are many different ways to pray, to read Scripture, and not always work for everybody. But I invite us all, as we enter into and get ready for Advent, the season of Advent, where we will be excited about the arrival of Jesus Christ as an infant child, as we prepare for the end of one year and look to the beginning of another year, to continue to ask ourselves, am I prepared to receive Jesus Christ every day? Amen.